This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory to your name, our Father. Glory to your name, our Father. Glory to your name, our Father. Oh, indeed, our eyes are upon you today, Lord. Our eyes are upon you today, Lord. Oh, our eyes are upon you today, Lord. We want to see you. We want to see you. We want to see you, Lord. 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 Locked up in that revelation of yours is our freedom. Locked up in the revelation of yours is our deliverance. Don't hide your face from us. Help us to see you. Reveal yourself. Show yourself to us. Show yourself to us. Show yourself to us. Jesus, this is our desire, that you reveal yourself. Show yourself. Upon this mountain, let us see you. Upon this mountain, let us see you. Upon this mountain, let us encounter you. You see, these natures, we are tired of them. Some of them seem stronger than us, but we know a secret. We know a secret. That secret is in your revelation. That secret is in your revelation. That secret is in your unveiling. Just reveal yourself and we know we'll be free. Just show yourself, Lord, and we know we'll be free. Your servant Paul the Apostle said, have I not seen the Lord? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Lord? Am I not free? Because he saw you, he entered into freedom. Jesus, reveal yourself to us this afternoon. Help us to see you. Help us to see you. I stand today, Lord Jesus, under the grace that you've put over this house. You'd help me to be a blessing to your children. You'd help me to be a blessing to your people. Oh, thank you for the outpouring of your grace. Thank you for the anointing of your spirit. Thank you for your overwhelming presence that is upon this house. Oh, I hide under all of those graces. And I ask Jesus, bless us. Bless us. Bless us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have a seat in God's presence. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. The topic is more than a prophet. And of course, we know that when we hear the word prophet, whether we want to agree with it or not, up till now, even though a lot of things have been said around the word prophet, now, there's still somewhere within us that when we hear the word prophet, we consider first a foreteller. And I know that some things are deep seated in the soul that is difficult to get it out. If I take Cain and I start beating you now, beating him, you know I can't remove 1 + 1 from his mind. Eh? No matter how I try to convince him out of 1 + 1 is equals to 2, I can't. Why? It's a work that has been done, seated, concluded, agreed upon for many years. But do you also know, if peradventure today, you start a generation of children, and you start telling them that 1 + 1 = 11, eh? And they grow old with it, it will also be very difficult for you to get that ideology out of their head.
So when we hear the word prophet, as much as we have heard a lot of teachings around the word who a prophet is, there's still something conflicting with the prophetic understanding that we have. And that conflict comes from the resolve of many years of what we have seen to be a prophet. The younger generations might be a bit free, but for some of us that probably are in our 30s and above, 40s, 50s, is difficult. So when you hear the word, I want to go and see a prophet, what comes to mind? A holy one that sees. Because, for example, all the things that we talk about around the prophetic is all things around the natural. They prophesize of the house you will live in, the car you would buy, the kind of wife you will marry. I've never seen a prophet, really, that prophesies into things heavenly, for example. I see that you're actually a being of the second heaven. I'm discerning you now. You actually, no, they don't. So meaning all the prophets that we call prophet can see is natural. There is no prophet, prove me wrong, there is no prophet, even are they prophesy of the future? The future is the future of the world to come. Is the future of present? Oh, in the year 2030, I see that you will come into a very big estate. It's still natural. So the conflict that happens to our soul when we hear the word prophet is that somewhere we've narrowed down prophet just around things that are prophesied, foretelling. Not even telling, we know there are two different things. There's foretelling and there's telling forth. Telling forth is speaking by the spur of the moment. Now, the foretelling is what is so much stronger around what we call the prophetic. And of course, we've been taught over and over. We know that there is what is called the office of the prophet, right? There is the gift of prophecy, and there is the nature of the prophet. Now, the actual New Testament prophet is actually a nature being. Now, in that nature, it can foretell if the Lord so will. Doesn't mean that practically, originally, is actually a foreteller. Now, again, to broaden it further, every one single child of God is a prophet. Now, I came into some very funny discovery about the word, because when I thought of the topic, a scripture just kept flashing in my mind. I tried to push it out. I said, it doesn't really agree with it. So it kept staying. So let's start from there. Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. I will pick a case study of a man. Those are the things in my spirit. I will just minister, feel, flow freely, and I'll be done this afternoon by God's grace. We'll take the case study of a man that in the scripture, the Bible called him a prophet. And it wasn't a prophet that prophesied. It wasn't a prophet that saw any vision. It wasn't a prophet that did not give any word of prophet. In fact, if God didn't mention it, nobody would have known or would have attributed the word prophet to our father Abraham. Now, Abraham had two distinct experiences. One in Egypt, that God never called him a prophet. And the second one in Abimelech's, in the land of Philistine, that God now mentioned that he is a prophet. Now, when the scripture kept staying in my mind, Matthew 21:13, he said, and he said unto them, it is written, my house. What is that house? Church? What was Jesus talking about? He said, my house shall be called what? The house of prayer. Huh? Now, you know the way Jesus speaks. You have to be very skillful to follow Jesus, because the person, he's saying two things. He's talking here, he will talk there, and he will join the two together. And you almost get confused thinking that he was talking about the synagogue. Because immediately he now said, but you have made it the den of thieves. So meaning there is a interjection between what is said before. He said, but you have made it the den of thieves. But he's talking about my house. Now, remember, he also said to them, he said, destroy this house. And I will raise it up where? Now, they got angry thinking he's talking about what they made den of thieves. So they went after him, making sure that, how can you say you build it in 3 days? We know how many years it took our father to build this house. 40 and 60 years was this temple in building. And in 3 days, you think you will raise it up? He said, but he spake of what? The temple of his body. So if Jesus is saying, my house, meaning that house that Jesus was talking about was a building that God made him into. Now, if he uses the word my, M-Y,
Ezekiel 36, he said, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give to you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit, where? Within you. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment to do them. Now we know from God's servant teaching, we are sons and daughters of the prophet, that when you hear the word my, it's talking about everlasting covenants. Now you have to have partaken of new first before they can bring you into my. So Jesus was talking about that house was actually an everlasting house. It's called my house will be the house of prayer. Now, when we hear the word prayer, prayer really is something that is done within a house that has been raised. You need a raised house to actually be able to offer. You would not be able to offer well when the house is not raised. My sister, you are actually designed to be a prophet. Not because you can tell somebody of their future. Not because you can predict what will happen or what will not happen. But because you have a nature that has a stand with God, when that person offers, God can't turn his ear. We find struggle in prayers because we've not been built a house. So when Jesus was saying, my house, it's a house of prayer. That's a building that God has raised. God raised something with my laws, my status, my judgment, my commandment. He used it to raise a house. When that house is raised, that house can offer, offer.
I saw in Greek meaning word of eastward, he termed the word prophet as one who lives by inspiration. Now, the word inspiration simply means breath. So, meaning when you look at the word, when you say somebody is a prophet lives by breath. That's why he's a prophet. He lives by breath. So, there are breaths inside of him. It is out of that breath. So, if we see from that angle, meaning Adam was a prophet. You know, at times, like I said, what is fighting us is our understanding of when you hear the word, prophet in Babaye. That man is a prophet. If he tell you something, oh boy. In fact, make sure you write it down. Now, does that mean that the gift of prophecy is invalid? No. There is the gift of prophecy. Tongues, interpretation equals prophecy. There is actually the gift of prophecy. There's also the office of a prophet. Now, the office of a prophet is under the fivefold. Now, the reason for the fivefold is to raise prophets. So, both the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors, they are designed to raise nature of the prophetic. So they are in the office of a prophet, but they are also, their actual calling is to become a prophet. Did we get that? They are what? Prophets as a gift of Christ,
but they are designed, their own calling is also to become a prophet. So they can remain as a gift of Christ. If they don't come into their calling of the prophetic nature, they have also come short of their actual calling. So when we say prophet, you can't take away leading of the Spirit. Is it actually the leading of the Spirit? Is actually the prophetic life? Because why? It's a path that you need Holy Ghost to be able to show you. If you're a prophet, prophets are weird. Old Testament prophet, they look very weird. The way they move. Someone like Elijah. Elijah is a very strange prophet. 1 minute you see him, the next minute he's gone. Hey, I've said, you are the one troubling Israel. It's not me. I'm not the one troubling Israel. So there are prophets, or there is the prophetic office, which a man can stand in as a prophet. But there is the prophetic nature, which is actually what is hanging upon us all as a church. In Revelation chapter 22, I think verse 6 or so, he called it the Lord God of what? Of the holy prophets. That's the end of scripture. He said, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of who? Of the holy prophets. So really, our end destination is to become a prophet. Anyone that falls short from being a prophet has fallen short of his destiny. The destiny hanging upon you, sir, myself, every one of us, is for us to become prophets. Prophets of the Lord. Prophets of the Lord God. That is actual calling hanging upon every believer. But let's start it. Let me backtrack a little. Let's start from our dear father, Abraham. We're looking at the topic, more than a prophet. Let's see from Genesis chapter 12. For them to begin a man into the prophetic journey, when you say somebody is a prophet, the person is actually a house. That person is a building. Is a raised house that can touch heaven. So, most of the sons of God or sons of men in the Old Testament, they call them their prophets. A son of man, prophesy. Son of man, prophesy. So, something that is peculiar about sons is that they are raised buildings. They are not men of the plain. Now, how do you raise someone who has been beaten down to be a grass? Now, it's good to pray. See, we are all designed to pray. But access differ in prayer. Why would somebody stand before a tomb and say, Father, I know you hear me always. One, I'm not saying it for myself. I'm saying it for them. For them to believe. So meaning if they were not there. I just doesn't need to. So he's actually standing in a house. It's actually a house that can offer. When a house is raised, offering is easy. So Jesus stands to say, I know you hear me always. And he was not sweating to say Lazarus should come forth. Just a word. Lazarus, come forth. He didn't doubt it. He didn't think whether Lazarus will or will not. Or whether Lazarus can change his mind. Or the demon holding Lazarus down in hell might become stronger because of what Jesus said. Jesus just said it and left it. How did Lazarus appear bound hand and foot? Can somebody bound hand and foot walk? So that means there's something that word did that is stronger than what we are seeing. So somebody is bound hand and foot. See, he can't even move. How did he now appear? And Jesus said, lose him. A hand and foot stood up and was, what carried him? Someone's word. Just a word by a man. Now, the challenge is, we like those kind of things, don't we? We like it. But the challenge many times is that we don't see that that person, he journeyed there. We like the end result, but we don't like the pathway that he had to follow before he can become a house that is a house of prayer.
It's very easy now. Imagine that I just stand up one day and went to do a media rally and say, today I stand as a prophet of the Most High and I say, this and this and this will happen in Nigeria. Pam! And suddenly it begins to happen. I say, Kai, Agbarade.
Now you see, some of those things we see, are they impossible? For example, when you look at someone like Elijah, the Tishbite. Elijah said there will be no rain, right? And there was no rain. Now, Elijah didn't say there was no rain because he just decided and feels and just feel like I just finished a big bowl of eba out of my excitement. I feel there should be no rain. Now, the man also speaking, let it be known to us that that man, Elijah, had walked with God. In fact, Elijah, I discovered, is actually a prophet of reward. Moses is a prophet of law and testimony. Elijah is a reward prophet. He was a higher prophet than Moses. That being is terrible. Because somebody has to see him shortly. Something that must be shortly done. You have to see him quickly for you to be able to receive reward. So if he is that man of that kind of pedigree, that means that that guy has journeyed. Elijah journeyed. Some things cannot be executed upon you except some things are done inside of you. You know, Moses died naturally, but his body didn't see corruption. Elijah did not die. So the challenge here is that we like the end result, but we don't like the process. The process is tedious. The process can be cumbersome. The process can become heart-rending. It can become wearisome. Somebody say you have to, you know, at times you deny yourself of some things. Why? Because of what? This thing is not that difficult. You know what Jesus had to deny to get to this place where a house can be a house of prayer? He denied 18 years of ministry. He was 12-year-old when ministry supposedly began, dazzling people. A 12-year-old Jesus, if he handled his mic, all of us just like, 12-year-old, he was scattering everywhere. Doctors of the Lord, they were confused. They were like, wow, wow. It was as if he was answering questions that had been in their hearts that they couldn't resolve. And then we'll ask one question, hey, what of this one, that this one? Ah, it was because Elijah did, go and bring this boy food, please. He must, let's just give him food, give him food. Let, oh yeah, continue. Remember that time that Zephaniah did, oh, actually, you see Zephaniah, what is it? Everybody was, So imagine a 12-year-old that had those weapons and died for 18 years. He killed that vision for 18 good years. Nobody heard of him. Nobody saw him. In fact, the only record we have of him was that they call him the carpenter. Not carpenter's son. He's two. Matthew, Mark. Matthew called him, is this not Jesus, the son of the carpenter? In Mark, he said, is this not the carpenter? So meaning he himself. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? So meaning all those 18 years, he died to his ambition. He died to his vision. He died to everything. He was busy filing wood, delivering stool. Son of God. Son of God. Delivering stool. Doing table. Somebody will still tell him that, Joshua, this, Actually, you know, I actually needed 2 tables, oh, but this one I brought 1. How soon can you get the second one ready? 3 days, sir. Okay, no problem. Take dinari. Yeah, please, quickly go and bring another one. And he will rush again and he will do it. And he will bring it. You know, we don't see those aspects of Jesus. Even the aspect where James, John, Joseph would have actually been attacking him in the house. Attacking him, fighting him, yapping him. Smarter, you say, you are son of God, son of God, son of God, call son of God name. So Jesus died for 18 solid years. So when the person is standing saying, my house is a house of prayer, that house you can offer, meaning if you are able to get to that house that Jesus is, you can offer, and that offering will be accepted. So, my brother, the process of building the house is where there is the difficulty. That's where a lot of souls shrink back. But he that survives the house to be built, when the house is fully raised, that house can offer. Now, I was also looking at that word, prophet. There's this Bible called Eastward. It has some ancient Hebrew meaning. Now, it termed the word prophet. It said the pictograph is a picture of a seed. It's a picture of a tent or a house. Representing what is inside. Combined, this means seed inside. A fruit hides the seed inside of it. So we say somebody is a house or somebody is a container. A container must have content, right? So the law builds the house, right? Then the testimony, the blood inside of the house is what is the life of the house, running the house. So anytime you see a house standing is law and testimony. Is bread or flesh and blood or bread and wine. I want to draw attention to the need for your development. Everything I say about this transfiguration thing, because what do you say transfigure? What does it mean to be transfigured? To be changed. Transfigure really is the figure, figurine. Figurine is idol. Remove an image, put another image. Yeah? So to really transfigure you is to change your image. There's an image we burn. He said, for we, as we are born the image of the earthy. He says, so also we should also bear the image of the heavenly. So there's an image we burn for many years. That image, when you offer through that image, you might not be able to offer. Your offering can't go. So really, I discovered that prayer is not actually a difficulty. It's a difficulty because we don't have access. Prayer becomes challenging when access. There is the congregational prayer that we all do. God honors the prayer of the saints. But there's somebody that can stand and say a word. Just a word. If I be a servant of God, let there be no rain in Israel for 3.5 years. And Gababa walked away. And so was it. When rain was supposed to come back again, he said it and began to pray. Now, he's not just praying just because he's praying. He's praying because he knows he has access. Why didn't Gehazi pray that prayer? Somebody has access. And from that access, he began to speak. He spoke until a hand appeared. Do you know what it means, Pastor? That for 3.5 years, there was no rain in a land. Every weather condition of that land is completely altered. He has altered nature. The normal season, dry season, rainy season has been altered. Completely altered. So he's not just saying, okay, now let it be rain. What will happen to the seasons that have been altered? So what Elijah did was altar season and come back and altar season again. So it's possible when he was praying that 3.5 years, when he was complete and was praying for rain, he was another season entirely. Everything has been altered. Even by the normal timing of the earth, there should not be rain. Maybe that time was dry season. Then he prayed until a hand, the hand that appeared was a cloud, a heavy one. And by the time that rain started, everybody said, okay, is even not enough? There was too much rain. So he altered it again for another 3.5 years. He made it dry for 3.5 years. Complete season. Change it. He now made it rain for another 3.5 years. The guy just kept changing season. Access. Now the growth is not just for only you. The growth is for all of us. You see, when you say that Manchester standing upon Zion, all of them are developed. Can you start a business with a 5-year-old? Eh? No, the guy is a genius. 5. Eh? You can't. So there are some things they can't mix. So meaning, when you see the man child, that company, they are all developed. They are all at almost the same growth level. They are all developed man child. Not man children, man child. They all grew to that point. Now, if it's 144,000, if we have 143,999, it's not complete. So it must be that quorum. The number has to be total. So SARS and MAS, my own administration in this boot camp is that you need to pay attention to your change. You see, your growth is not just something that is a cliche. That okay, EGFM, they like saying growth. When we come to church, we say growth. It's not a cliche. It's actually your call. You are called to develop. The same way a natural father would lament and cry if he has a 1-year-old that remains a 1-year-old after 10 years. That child at some certain age is useful to you. Let's say the child grows now. At age 1, you know, he begins to call dada. Everybody's happy. You like that word dada. You won't be angry that he's calling you dada because of that age. Now, if he now becomes 5 and he's saying dada, you'll be troubled. You'll be worried. He becomes 10 and he see what is it? Dada. Ha! He was like, okay. He was that before, but he's not that again. We need to change. This thing is not working. Why? Because there is an expectation of you, of your children as they develop. The same way God has an expectation hanging in his mind as we develop. So God called our father Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. He said, and the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy fathers, out of thy kindred, out of thy country, out of thy kindred, out of thy father's house, unto a land which I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Next verse. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and it shall be, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 when he departed Haran. And Abraham took his wife Sarai, and Lot his brother, and all his substance that he had gathered, and the souls that were with him, that got into Haran, and he left and went to the land of Canaan. Verse 15. And now the princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and he entreated Abraham well for her sake. And he had sheep, oxen, asses, a men servant, maid servant, she asses, and camels. Now, this is where the journey of our father Abraham began from, which is where all of us began our journey from. We began from Egypt. God called his son out of Egypt. Eh? We all began from Egypt. We actually got born again in Egypt. I just want to chronology something for us, our journey of change. How it is crucial for us that we can have some sort of audience with God when some development has not happened.
The same way I cannot have a sincere conversation with my 10-year-old. He's 10. He can say some things. But I can't have life challenges now, sir. Pastor, imagine you are having challenges in business. You now sit down with your 10-year-old. I say, you see, actually, we were trying to connect a diode. You said, diode. What's that? Is that the name of your friend, Daddy? He doesn't understand it. He can't relate with you. He can't fellowship with you. So there are also some kind of responsibilities you can't put upon him. He is 10-year-old. You can send him on an errand. Carry my plate to the kitchen. But there are some responsibilities. You can't tell him to go drive your car and buy fuel. So there are some kind of responsibilities you can't place upon him. The same way there are some kind of responsibilities God can't place upon us at some certain age. See, my brother, I want us to pay attention to our development. Church is sweet. Oh, bring your hand. Come. It's good. Church is sweet. It's good for us to enjoy, you know, the cozy environment of church. You know, Word of Righteousness has one way things. It makes things beautiful. Abi? Everybody's just clean. You like the way guys dress. Everybody's looking beautiful. They blow their hair. You know, there's liberty in the Lord. You know, just enjoy yourself. Even if you do dreadlock, nobody they send you. You know, just bad one. Enjoy yourself in the Lord. But should I tell you the truth? If we no grow. Somebody was around me recently. Person had some issues. I told her, when the wallah was too much, I said, go and read Final Quest. By the time she started reading Final Quest, she said she closed it. Hey! He said, I'm not reading again. He said, she now went back. When she started reading it, fear was gripping her heart. I said, yes. Because so that you know that you are warring against some spirits. You see those spirits? You climb on them for access. Eh? Church, you know, be joke. What we have here is house of spirits. We climb on principalities and you have to conquer them to have an access. After you conquer principalities and power, there's an access you've gotten. After you conquer rulers of the darkness of this world, there's another access you've gotten. After you conquer spiritual wickedness in high places, you have another access. So they are like keys to your access. If you refuse to conquer them, and how do you conquer them? By blow? No, by nature. So when you say change, change is not because somebody is interested in your morality. That was your business. If you like before, in the case of Badana, now you go kill yourself. Who are you doing? Me? I'm not doing the pastor. You are doing yourself, really. Be stealing money up and down. Who are you doing? The pastor? No, you are doing yourself. So we are not saying it just because of morals. We are not just saying because of good living. We are saying it because of spirits you need to conquer. There are natures you need to overcome. There's somebody you need to become. You need to prove to heaven that this guy, even if you like, tempt him with anything, this one has escaped this level. The same way when you pass a particular exam and they know you pass it well, let them bring the exam in another way, you will still pass it. They know that this one is better than this exam. If we need to try him, we have to bring something higher. So it's not really because of your good morals. The labor of all our pastors every Sunday is not because of good morals. It's because of overcoming spirits. And as you overcome those spirits, for example, it took some people to overcome some certain spirits and know that they have really overcome them. For some of us to learn that truly, truly, those spirits are overcomable. Those days when you hit in the dream, wahala, wahala. They say you don't chop your destiny. But some people were able to come into some overcoming. They hurt in the dream. They did everything and nothing happened to them. And they were able to show them and say there's nothing there. Eh? Really? And they show us the way out. And we also learn the way out. And it's called, I've overcome these spirits now. Abba. I didn't know before that I overcome them. So you'll not be asking for order in the dream. Excuse me, where you are coming tomorrow night? With mouth. Cold one. I don't like hot mouth. It's not good. Cold mouth. Let it be very cold. And they won't bring it. Why? They just know that this one, Otikawa, he has understood our secret. So what have you done? You've just matured. I see there be many maturing. So reason for teaching, reason for laboring for the revelation of Christ is to raise a people that have capacity to overcome, to eventually raise a house
that can offer. It's not every house that can offer. Not every house. So they gave birth to Rosa in Egypt. That was where they gave birth to our father Adam, Abraham. So you see, when you see Abraham's journey, Abraham is actually our journey. He journeyed first in Egypt. From Egypt, they called him out of Egypt. And Bible said, and Abraham, what did he do? He went up and out. He first went up, then out. Because he initially went down to Egypt. So to journey out of Egypt, you have to go up. So there is a growth out of Egypt. You grow up, out. So Abraham's growth up, it takes him out. He has no business again with Egypt. He grew up out of Egypt. And not only him, he and his wife and all that he had. Lot also did the same thing. He was a level. Lot at that time, Pastor, Lot also was journeying. Baba ain't journeying. He also journeyed with, he also came up and out. But another season came. They kept journeying. Let's just go. Let's go quickly. Give me chapter. I think it was in chapter 13 that they had the war. So you see, what you just see Abraham did here. Abraham was already a child. He was no longer a babe. Eh? He came out of babyhood into childhood. Eh? He had developed a little. He said, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Now, there was a trouble between Abraham and Lot. He said, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and herdsmen of Lot. Now, I love that word. On the land, that was strife. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, I told you that Abraham had journeyed out of babyhood. 1 Corinthians 3. Just go there quickly. I'll come back to this. Genesis 13, 7. 1 Corinthians 3. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? As unto spiritual, but as unto what? As unto carnal. As unto what again? As unto babes in Christ. For I have fed you with milk and not with meat, because until now you are not able to bear meat. So I'm still going back to milk. For you are carnal. What is amiss you? Envying. What again? Strife. So you see that word strife again. So what you were seeing displaying there was that somebody did not grow well. Eh? In growing well out of his babyhood. So imagine Paul was laboring the same way somebody was laboring over Abraham and Lot. Somebody was laboring over them. And when they labored, the guy, even though he came out of Egypt, eh? But he didn't come out okay. Do you understand? Because not everybody that left Egypt with Moses that was okay. So he came out of Egypt, but he didn't come out okay. So there were still things inside of him. He still had carnal nature. It is that carnal nature that now showed. He said, and Abraham said, let there be no strife. Meaning that man, Abraham, has taken good milk. Babati mu milk that doubt yo, he has taken enough milk. He's no longer in that place of carnality where he's still strife. He said, let there be no strife. I pray thee, between me and thee, between my headsmen and thy headsmen. For we are what? We are brethren. So Abraham had used well love to all saints. Eh? And what again? Faith in the Lord Jesus. He had used it well. He had mastered it. That has been his foray. Oti loaded out of it. He has used it well. He said, we are brethren. No. I don't need to fight. Verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Eh? If thou wilt take the left, I will take the right. Now, what is this? Come out from among them. And be what? Separate. So at that point, Abraham had journeyed to the point where he knew that separate yourself. Go this way, I'll go the other way. I journeyed. Verse 10. And Lord lifted up his eyes, of course, because the Baba no grow well. You know, this was also the same problem that Cain had. He told Cain, he said, if you do well, would you not be accepted? Now, what is well doing? Well doing is by faith. So meaning there was a lack in the faith process and faith journey of Cain. Cain did not do his faith well. And because he didn't do it well, when it came to the time where faith was supposed to produce a particular result, he could not produce that result. Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, he said, when I come, that I will perfect
what is lacking in your faith. So meaning a believer can have lack in faith. So if there is lack in your faith, it will show in how you express life.
And Lot chose, and we know the story, and eventually they separated themselves. And while they separated themselves, what happened to Lot? Lot was taken away.
Now, because our father Abraham kept journeying, Abraham did not stay. He kept journeying. Now, when Lot was taken away, what did Abraham do? By that time, Abraham was already in charity. They just wanted to show his charity. How will your charity show? They've just taken your brother Lot. This your brother Lot. This guy don't be my brother. Oh. Because what did the guy do me? Abba, person where I bring from village, where I raise, invested all my money inside. Eh? Now my cattle, I risked the life of my wife for us to get that cattle. Oh, you don't know where they got the cattle from? It's from Pharaoh. Whose life was at risk? It wasn't his wife. It was the wife of Abraham. The Abraham put his wife's life at stake. So Abraham has every reason not to have gone after that being called Lot. But you see, a nature was done in Abraham. It's why you say, well, where do you hear the word faith, hope, charity? Charity is not just, it's not just a lingua. It's a nature. Charity will begin to hit some blow inside of you. Brethren will offend you, yes or no? No. But you have no right under the law of charity to respond with what a brethren has done to you. You have all right to keep your law. If I must become a prophet, if I must journey to the point where it will be said over me that I am a prophet, I have to obey the law of life inside of me. Will somebody offend me? He has right to offend me. Maybe that is his own standard of life. That's where his own nature is. But do I have the right to respond back with offense? No, I don't have that right. So Abraham took a step further. He gathered men, servants, that have been in his house for years. They know they carry weapon. They were farmers, herdsmen. It's not the herdsmen that carry gun. Eh? And he went to risk their life against nations that have trained soldiers. Five nations. One of them is called King of Nations. One of them, Tidal, King of Nations. Meaning under him alone, there are nations. He's a Tidal. He's Tidal. When he moves like this, everybody is gone. Abraham risked his life further. You know what we say the word more than a prophet? The prophet, you know. Because to become a prophet is not a small journey. That was the journey of our father Abraham. So Abraham now got there. What did he do? And Abraham heard. He just heard it. Kai! My brother has been captive, taken captive. Hey! My brother, you know I can hear it and just say, I didn't hear you. So is it, what you just told me, I just keep it between the two of us. Don't tell anybody again. So my worry, but boy, sorry, brother, we be all of us. If at the pastorate we sat down, we warned him. He know the yeah. In here, don't block. So make him suffer small. If he suffer, this suffer small. He ain't go change. May he suffer. Leave him. No tell pastor, just keep him between the two of us. As long as I'm here, we just leave him. Well, don't tell anybody. But all Abraham did was hear that his brother was taken captive. And what did he do? He hanged his trained servants, born in his house. Eh? 318 men and pursued them unto Dan. And they smote them. They killed all of them. Abraham didn't know that setup was not for Lot, it was for him. You know, that's why you are taking steps of charity towards your brother. You think you are doing your brother a favor. My brother and yourself, they do favor. Now you won't become building now. Nobody won't become a house. A house that can offer. So it's not your brother. Oh. Because all that Abraham did, somebody was locking around called Melchi. The guy just there around. Nobody feel locate him. Abraham needed a fervent charity obedience to unlock Melchizedek. Melchizedek has been around. He's been there. But Abraham had not journeyed to where his eyes could see him. So all he needed to do was a fervent charity obedience.
either to obey a particular law, either to go against his natural configuration. Timba Woti brother, I should not help him. That brother can annoy you. That sister can get you angry. If it's for that sister's sake, I should not do it. But it's not for the sake of sister. It's because of Melchizedek hanging around you. There is an ordination of God hanging around you at that time. And Satan wants to make sure you miss it. So Abraham took the bold step. I heard his captive. And he went after him. And he destroyed them utterly. And gathered plenty goods. And he didn't take anything. Even not to a shoe latchet. Why do you think Abraham was able to overcome the challenge, the temptation of shoe latchet? It's charity. Charity seeketh not her own. So he was in fervent charity. He wasn't seeking anything of himself. And immediately he fulfilled that obedience. Somebody appeared. Everybody saw him pass. Nobody could see him. Because none of them was in that place that Abraham had journeyed to. As he was passing, Abraham saw him that this guy is different. Who is this? Who is this? Melchizedek. And Bible said he gave him tithe of all. Everything. He gave him tithe of everything. And Melchizedek gave him what he actually preordained for Abraham. Because at that time they were moving Abraham. He was crossing border. He was moving from the zones of Christ into the zones of becoming a father. They were changing heavens over our father Abraham. And they gave him bread, law, and testimony. They gave him bread and wine. They gave him building and the life in the building. They gave him a house. And because of that house, Abraham could also stand and now pray when the king of Sodom came. The king of Sodom said, Abraham, don't worry. I'll give you. He said, no. I have lifted up my eyes. If you see the prayer of Abraham, he also changed in the same way Melchizedek prayed. Abraham has never prayed like that before. He has never used those words, those exact words before. He said, I have lifted up my hands unto the Lord, the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Possessor. That was the same prayer Melchizedek prayed with him. Possessor of heaven and earth. And something has changed over Abraham. And Abraham continued like that. Abraham continued, kept journeying until Abraham, daddy, got to Genesis 20. Prior to 20, he had met with angels. Because they had now opened him to the place where he can meet with beings. He can meet with beings. He just met Melchizedek. From Melchizedek, he met, three men came. When they wanted to go and do it, he just said, hey, this one's, I know, had the sittings now. I don't grow. House don't build. I just see things. From that house, he can discern. He saw these people are not ordinary. He said, my Lord, can you... They'll be wondering, how did he see us? How did this guy discern us? And they sat down, they hurt. God hurt. Angels sat down and hurt the foot of man. Because of a man's building. A man that has access with God. Angels sat down, they hurt food. Natural food. How they take duam, I don't know. Now stature, they talk. And because of that, Abraham kept journeying, 17, 18, 19, by 20. Abraham, the same thing he did, the same way he went to Egypt, but he has journeyed past there. He just went into the land of the Philistine. And Abimelech saw a woman that is 90, that they've reversed her age to become like 20-something. And he saw babe, and he went after babe. But he doesn't know that this kind of babe now is a babe that can kill you. And God just came and said, you are a dead man. You are dead. He said, what did I do? I did that to you. I said, I know. That's why I preserved you. I would have killed you since. He said, you have just taken the wife of a prophet. So you see the chronology of the journey of our father Abraham before he became a prophet. He had taken bread and wine. He had made covenants. Then he journeyed to the point where God said to him, he said, this man is a prophet. Go and meet him. Let him pray for you. So one thing about prophets is that they can offer prayer. He said, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall do what? Pray for thee. Say, a prophet is a house of prayer. A prophet is what? A house of prayer. So you see the journey that the Lord took our father through before they can put on him the word, for he is a prophet. So you understand that words are not carelessly used in scripture. God saw a man that has understood the prophetic part, that had undertaken the prophetic journey, and had become a prophet.
and being a prophet, he can pray. That was the same thing that happened to Job. When Job was fully coronated a prophet, the Lord told his friends, I can't hear your prayer again. You see, like I said, my major purpose here today is that pay attention to your what?
Hey, let's rush. Oh, see this 2026 we are entering into. Hey, it's okay. Oh. We need to do what?
Grow.
Therefore, take unto thee. Now, these people were offering prayer to God. God canceled their prayer. He said, I can't hear you again. Oh. I've raised a prophet on earth. I've just raised one that can offer prayer. And when he offers prayer, his prayer is answered. He said, therefore, take unto you 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to woo my servant, the prophet, Job, and offer up for yourself, not for him, burnt offering. And my servant, what will he do? Shall pray for you. For what? For him will I do what?
Accept. So you see, this thing get he get level low. Eh? This prayer thing, he get level low. He get level. And what's the level? The level is determined by your growth. It's by your growth. I want us to know that we've come into a good season. What's a good season? Speed development. Don't let a day pass you by without you converting every of the commandment of the Lord that comes your way to change. Don't let that day pass. Make sure you convert it. Use it. There is a prophetic destiny hanging upon your head. There is a time, a year, a second, a minute, you know, a particular time in your life where they are meant to actually coronate you. Don't miss that time. Don't miss that time. Can't begin to respond to the Lord in prayer this evening. Let's just talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. That the Lord in mercy would cause us to make good use of every instruction, every commandment, every obedience, every word that the Lord will bring our way in this season. We will make good use of it. We will change. We will do hope. We will do faith. We will do charity. We will cross into fervent charity. The Lord will strengthen us in the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.